The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
I'm Malik. I'm from Minnesota. I listen to Mickey Miler's podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 204 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scoper, and with me on the show today is Michelle Scribner-McLean, my co-host. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
You might say I'm a little tired, but other than that...
We missed you in California.
Well, I tried to do my best. I tried to do a little bit of a challenge over the weekend, and I think I overdid it, but I wanted to feel like I was... You know, doing my part just like you guys were. So I was following all of you and enjoying, you know, California.
Well, I have a very special one. I had the privilege of running the 5K with two lovely young ladies, and one of whom was doing their first Disney 5K. And her name is Abby McCoy. So I had a blast running with Abby and Emma, but I want to give a special shout out to Abby because she was like a rocket. She ran really, really fast, and it was so nice to see her get her her medal at the end. And maybe if we have some time, we'll tell you about how Run Disney filmed her and what funny thing happened. Because her dad's on the show today, too.
Really?
Yes. We're going to talk about the Disneyland race weekend.
Cool.
So why don't you introduce our guest?
Okay, so all the way from California, and she is no stranger to the Mickey Miles Podcast, is Laura Gilbreth from San Diego. Hi, Laura.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for coming back. We appreciate it. And from the great state of Georgia, the War Eagle himself, Eddie McCoy. Eddie, how are you?
Hey, Mike and Michelle and Laura, but Mike, I just really want to know how you've simulated the jet lag in this training of the challenge.
I'll tell you, Sunday, I think I had 3 hours of sleep Sunday night to
that
Monday.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So,
well played, sir. Well played.
And it was actually, I had a tribute run to you on Monday morning at 3:30 in the morning. I went out and I ran, so...
We weren't even asleep on the West Coast at that time.
You guys were still celebrating. I was lacing up, you know.
Awesome.
He's got to simulate the park walking too, Eddie.
Yeah, I know. But I think he did a pretty good job on his little challenge there. So, Congrats. Oh,
he did 100,000 steps on Fitbit. All right.
Okay, so we're here because we want to do a review of the Disneyland Half Marathon race weekend for 2014, and we're going to go through the weekend, and we're going to, I'm going to find out what happened.
Actually, you know what? I think we should start with the event that just Eddie went to, which is the special event that cost, was it $89, Eddie?
That was correct. It was $89.
And what was the proper name of it?
It was the welcome event.
Okay. So this is the event that used to be the special event that people would try to kind of get into the lottery and get invited to, where Jeff Galloway and some special guests are on. Should we introduce Lee? Because Lee is here now.
Oh, yeah. And so, also joining us.
late to the show, but nonetheless, welcome.
Last but certainly not least... The man who someday will show me all about beer and pizza in California, Lee Zimmerman. Welcome, Lee.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for racing home, Lee. Okay, so Eddie, you did this event that was a pay event, and can you tell us a little bit about it, what it was, and what your review of it is?
Yes, it was an event that it was available when the race came open on the first day of registration. It was an $89 event, and what it entailed is Run Disney used to have the free meetup tweetup events. And it's kind of a simulation of that event because I had gone to one of those previously. So I got to see it was a little different than what that was. But what it involved is we all met at the entrance of California Adventure at 5:30 a.m. And then at 5:30 a.m., they let you into the park, and we went all the way to the World of Color, to the front of that. In that stage area, Carissa, our wonderful... Carissa Beeler, one of the wonderful announcers for Run Disney, was the host of the event. And she basically welcomed everybody to the event. And what it entailed is the first people she brought up to the stage were Runner's World people, two Runner's World people. I didn't catch their name. It's nobody that I really had heard of before. But they basically went through a bunch of stretches and different cadence drills and running technique and form drills that you could do. And at this point, after they showed you and you got to participate in the different drills, they then held a walk or a run around Paradise Pier, which is about a half a mile. So it was kind of a little warm-up run, and you went around. And then after the run, actually, maybe even before the run, they had a video. One of the coolest things of the welcome event is if you've ever seen World of Color or Fantasmic in Disney World, if you haven't, how they used the mist or the water screens, they had a Run Disney video that recapped the 2013 Disneyland half. And it was really cool. And I took a video of it. It was really neat. That was probably one of the best things in the meet. And then I think we went to the Runner's World and did the stretches. But then after that, they brought Tara Guidus up to the stage, friend of the show. And they brought Jeff Galloway, another friend of the show, up along with the Runner's World and did a Q&A session that probably lasted 20 to 30 minutes. And then after that, we all got a special ride of Soarin', which... we just basically walked over Soarin' and rode the ride. And one of the other bigger perks was the meet, and one of the enticing things to sign up was you had early access for 1 hour before anybody else into the Run Disney official merchandise area. So at 7:30, we got to go over to the expo into the Run Disney area only and go through all the merchandise and buy anything we wanted at that point.
And how many people were there, Eddie, for this?
I could estimate that there was about 70 to 80. That's kind of the number I heard thrown out. I'm not quite sure it was 100, but it seemed over 50. So I would say 70 to 80 would be my best guess.
And you also got a special Run Disney shirt too, right?
Yes, I forgot. That was and it was probably one of the coolest shirts I've ever gotten for Run Disney. I've always been on the search for the elusive black Run Disney shirt, and I've never quite got it, but this one was pretty darn neat. It was a blue with a Disneyland D on the front, and right out to the side of it said Run Disney. So it had the Disneyland D logo and then Run Disney across the front. So that was a shirt, and it was $89. And I know your next question is going to be, is it worth it?
Yep. That's
so,
exactly
so
right.
This is it. It was a 40. The shirt I easily would have paid $40, and most anybody I think that's a big Run Disney fan would have paid $40 for the shirt. So then you're basically left with a $50. Is it worth the meetup to see and answer the questions and get extra into the merchandise early? I would say based on past Run Disney experience, if you like merchandise, absolutely. But this, as we'll get into later, seemed to be a little bit different because the merchandise seemed to last a lot longer this race weekend in the past. So I think the reason I signed up is because last year I stood in line for an hour and a half to buy merchandise. So to me,
knowing that I was going to get a free Run Disney shirt that was probably going to be a limited edition anyways. It was basically a $50 meet in my mind, and I would have thought it would have been worth it. And it was neat. It was cool. They did have one celebrity at the meet. He didn't get up and talk in front of anybody. He was just there, and that was Sean Astin. So, and he was very, very friendly to basically anybody that came up to him. And I even got to chat with him for just a second and took a picture with him.
And but he's done these events before. He was in the Disneyland Race Weekend last year.
Yes, he is a big Run Disney fan. You pretty much understand that right away. And I didn't see him not talk to anybody that came up and chat, not just say hi. I mean, he would chat with them for a little bit. He seemed like a generally good guy. So, you know, is it worth it? It was a unique experience. I'm not 100% sure I'd do it again, but I wouldn't say I wouldn't either. It just depends. 89 seems just a tad steep, but not quite over the top yet. But it's just what and what. I mean, if you have the money, and if you're gonna buy Race Retreat, I say you could buy that and have a good time. If you don't like Race Retreat, then I'd say you wouldn't want to do this.
So let's go on to the expo, and ladies first. Laura, what would you say your biggest impressions were of the expo this past weekend?
My biggest impression of the expo is that there were a lot fewer vendors this year. And I couldn't really tell you what was missing. Most of the things that I recognize as seeing over and over were there. Maybe what was missing was the booths that are advertising other races. I don't remember seeing any of those this time. The expo itself, as far as registration and everything, was just easy peasy. You know, you go down there and stand in line for maybe 5 minutes to pick up your bib, and then go upstairs and you walk right up to get your t-shirt. So the rest of it was really easy. As Eddie said, that this year, plenty of merchandise. And so it was nice to see that there was still everything that we were interested in was still available when we arrived, because we didn't get there until Friday afternoon and the expo opened on Thursday. So we were pretty happy about that.
So I decided to go right when the expo opened so we could compare it to last year, because I know Eddie was there at the same time and you were there, Mike, last year, and it was not good. This was a whole different experience. I strolled right down the ramp to the parking garage area where the booths were set up, and I had about a 10-minute wait. I actually ran into Betsy, who's the wife of race director and co-track shack owner, John Hughes. And she said, oh, I don't know why people come right when it opens, because, you know, in an hour it's going to be dead. But and it sounds like from what other people said that it was. But it went very quickly getting the bibs. That another difference this year for me was that the cast members who were there seemed to know what was going on. Last year they seemed a little out of the loop and a little overwhelmed with the number of people. Got my shirt, didn't have to wait for that. I think, Laura, I saw one race. I couldn't tell you what it was, but I saw one race booth. But I agree, there were fewer vendors. For me, I waited in line for merchandise, and I timed it. I was in line for about 35 minutes. It was a really long line, but it moved quickly. But a big difference is, and Eddie and Laura already said this, there was a ton of merchandise. Last year, people were running in and grabbing piles of, you know, Dumbo Double Dare merchandise. I saw cast member after cast member just restocking the shelves while I was there, you know, 10, 20 shirts as they were disappearing. And then the line to pay wasn't too bad at all. And so probably my whole experience with the merchandise was an hour from beginning to end. So it was a lot more positive. What about you, Lee?
So the expo was less crowded. I like the new layout. I like the new traffic flow. The way they took us down to pick up bibs, and then that flowed directly sort of into the entrance to the expo area. Before, there used to be a lot of confusion of people showing up and walking through the lobby of the Disneyland Hotel, and the cast members having to figure out whether they still needed to pick up their bib or not pick up their bib, and people doubling back after they got their bibs. So I like that. I think that the layout works better. I agree there was less booze. the merchandise.
We wish there was booze.
Yes, the merchandise was nice. I think the most interesting thing about the merchandise was the almost total lack of merchandise for the 10K. Lots and lots of stuff for the Dumbo Double Dare. A decent amount of stuff for the half. There was a lot more, I'd say kind of, there was some Disneyland Resort running merchandise and some generic Run Disney merchandise, which is always nice because obviously that cuts across multiple races. But there was almost nothing. Just for the 10.
You're right. I hadn't thought about that. And there wasn't a lot for Coast to Coast either, was there?
There was a pink shirt and a blue shirt that say Coast in big letters, but that's all they do.
Yeah. This is the same ones that we saw earlier this year at Disney World.
Hmm.
So who wants to tell me how they did the New Balance shoes this year?
Eddie's going to have to tell you that. Lee and I didn't.
Eddie's the one who bought them. And
never,
we're kidding.
Ever.
You're never going to live it down. Eddie said he would never buy them, and he ended up buying a few. So tell us how it worked, Eddie.
Well, this is how it works. You say you're never, ever going to buy them, and then you hang out with your friends Stan Harris and Pam Harris, who had bought them, and then you watch your daughters look at them and want them, and then you look at the Goofy shoes. That's almost auburn colors. Maybe I need a pair. But you know, they never carry size 14, so I don't ever have to worry about that. But anyways, how it worked for me is I wasn't ever going to buy them. That's honest to God truth. I have never been tempted to buy them through all the races. But on Saturday after the 10K, we were actually hanging out with Stan and Pam Harris about the races. Actually, it was the 5K. It was on Friday, I believe. I saw them. I said, okay, we're in Cars Land. I said, let me text and see what kind of time I can get in the virtual queue. So I signed up on my iPhone into the virtual queue, got a 2:00 appointment on Friday, which is the second day the expo was open. They already showed they didn't have my size anyway, so I signed up because I knew I was going to go buy my daughters a pair of shoes. So, I went over at my appointed time. Actually, I went over closer to 3:00. My time window was at 2 p.m. They finally texted me saying it was ready at about 2:45. I got over there within, you signed up in the expo area. They had a New Balance, right by the New Balance booth. They had a virtual sign-in. You show them your confirmation that you got texted to you. You walk up, maybe waited 5 minutes, and then I got an individual salesman, came to me. They went in the back. They brought out, when you sign up in the virtual queue, you have to select the type of shoes you want, one type of shoe you want, and a size you want, and they're guaranteed to have that shoe for you. So they brought out the one shoe I had, which was a Mickey in size 13, that I said I'd try on. And they brought it out. So of course, I'm a big-footed person, so they didn't fit. So I said, you know, I'd need 14s. And then they immediately went back in the back and found two 14s in the Goofy and the Mickey shoe, which caused a dilemma for me. Because I was already convinced they'd never have it. And then my daughters, both my daughters, Emma and Abby, were with me. So they were trying on shoes. Emma went with the Cinderella shoes, and Abby went with the Minnie Mouse shoes. And my wife had already gave me an order. She wanted Cinderella shoes. So I was only expecting to buy three, and needless to say, the two 14s fit, and I couldn't say no to either one of them. So
I didn't realize you bought two for yourself.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't just do anything halfway. I go all the way. I'm all in. I go from never wanting a pair to have them both. So, it went very smooth. The lady was completely awesome. She brought my daughters probably three pair of shoes, brought me two pair of shoes. And, I mean, we were in and out from the whole time we got there and out within 30 minutes. So, It worked extremely well, unfortunately, for me and my wallet.
And no interest, Lee and Laura, in them?
I don't know. I had to watch many of the people I was there with, including Mr. McCoy and his whole family, wear their beautiful shoes. And, you know, I was tempted, but by that point it was late enough. I was pretty sure they wouldn't have anything. And since I don't wear tennis shoes just around, you know, I have to dress professionally at work, unlike some people I know. And, you know, I've got more than enough slightly worn out running shoes to wear the rest of the time. I never buy shoes just for their looks. But I do have to say, all of those shoes are pretty darn beautiful.
I think you, that's exactly the way I feel. I have a lot of older shoes, but they do look great. I did consider it. I don't know. All right, so are we ready to talk about the 5K?
Now let's go on to the 5K. Which of the four of you did the 5K?
Me and Michelle did, for a fact.
Yeah, we did.
All right, so let's go to Michelle first.
Okay, so, you know, I love 5Ks, and Anna McCoy was running this one by herself, so I was invited by Eddie and the girls to run with them. And we stopped for so many characters. There were so many different characters on this run. We stopped in Cars Land. Oh, Eddie, you tell all the different places that we started. But I do want to say it was so fun running with little kids because they would sprint and stop and sprint and stop. And I think it took us over an hour to get through the whole thing, but we had a blast and we took lots and lots of pictures. I thought it was just really, really fun. I really love running the 5K in Disneyland. Eddie?
Yeah, no, this was... My daughter Emma had run a Princess 5K before, and my Abby had not run a Disney 5K. So what I had done is we had all been training in the summer doing a run walk. And so that they wouldn't fight, they each had their own Galloway timer with 30-30s on that they got to hold. And they got to lead the both would go all at the same time. So we did a 30-30 in between. And we basically ran to every character stop except one, which my daughter Abby proceeded to let us know that we should have stopped at Lilo. But we didn't. We went past Lilo. But other than that, there was one in Cars Land. There was Lightning McQueen in Cars Land. There was actually, they had just a cast member out for the World of Color. They had Stitch. And I'm trying to... And they had
Mater out, too. We didn't stop for Mater.
Okay, yeah. We didn't stop for Mater. Mm-hmm. Then they had Chip and Dale and Clarice... And I'm trying to remember, and Daisy, mm-hmm. all together. And then I don't know that there was another one till we got to the end.
It was a great experience. The only thing I noticed about this 5K, and I was talking to Carissa about this, the race announcer, it just seemed very mellow to me at the beginning. It didn't seem, I know the field was a lot smaller than the other races, but it was just really, really sedate. I did like the national anthem. It was somebody who was playing a ukulele who sang it, which I thought was really cool. But Eddie, did you feel the same thing?
Yeah, I thought it was mellow. And by the way, like you said, the national anthem was probably the best national anthem I've ever heard at a race. It was a ukulele. I mean, that was just completely well done. And I was really hoping they were going to do it for the 10K, but we'll talk about it in just a second. But no, I thought it was a little, I mean, it was kind of like a Disneyland, the typical Disneyland. Last year it was crazy because they did the 5K and the 10K back to back on the same day. So this one was, I enjoyed it more because I know we didn't have to get to the finish line and run another race.
Now, Eddie, can we quickly tell the story of what happened to us at the finish line?
Run Disney was filming at the finish line. And by the way, they filmed me and the girls getting medals and Michelle. But as the girls were getting the medal, we're all together in our Mickey Milers jersey. So we sort of look like a family. But as they pan to Em and Abby, they go, "Well, your mom and dad," pointing to Michelle and me, "must be very proud." So
I was sort of standing off to the side so they wouldn't film me. But go ahead, Eddie.
So Michelle has adopted two kids.
And Anna, the mom, is, of course, running off on her own, trying to run for time, which she did really well. But it was just, I said to Eddie, "Oh, my gosh, I hope they don't put that on any Run Disney stuff." And they ended up putting it on, but they cut out the last part. So they were on the daily recap. So that was kind of funny.
Yes, it was.
All right.
Okay, let's move on to the 10K. I'm going to ask Lee and Laura first. Did you guys participate in the 10K?
Yes, we did. We were Dumbo Double Dare people.
Oh,
so
that's right.
10K and a half.
So please let us know how it was.
It was hot and humid for beautiful, sunny Southern California. Not nearly as bad as last year, but still I think I checked, it said it was 80% humidity when we finished. You know, it's a nice course. We talked about most of the details of that course last time. A little bit disappointing in terms of the number of characters that they actually had out. I think there was almost less characters than it sounds like there were for the 5K, even though you spend a little more time in the parks, technically.
There were definitely less characters for the 10K than the 5K.
But, you know, nice field, never too crowded. You get to see lots of both of the parks. It was well organized, and it was a pleasant experience, probably except for the national anthem.
Unlike the ukulele.
Unlike the ukulele, yes.
Yeah, for those who weren't there, so it made sense. I mean, again, it was Lilo and Stitch themed 10K too, and they had
Elvis Stitch specifically.
Yeah, so they had a guy, an Elvis impersonator, sang the national anthem, and it was certainly not one of the better renditions I've ever heard.
It's just like you think an impersonating Elvis rendition would be.
The high note almost made me cry.
Yes. To my eyes. Yes. I felt exactly the same. That high note, I just cringed.
So it was interesting because Laura brings up Elvis Stitch. So they sort of made up in their own way for the lack of Disney characters. There was at least three different character stops that had Elvises at them. But again, I don't think most of us were actually there to see Elvis. Now, there was an Elvis Stitch, which was very cool. But yeah, putting the Elvises on the course wasn't a particularly good way to make up for Disney characters to take photos with. So, dear, what did you think of the race?
Well, I really like this 10K course. It's so much better than the one that they have at Disney World. The first 2 miles are outside the park, but you run down towards the convention center and past the convention center and around it. And that's kind of interesting. And then you have 4 miles of being in Disney property, running through the parks downtown and finishing up in downtown Disney. So you have lots of people to cheer you on there at the end. And some of us get the crowd cheering for us and we will sprint to the finish to the chagrin of those running with us. Who caught me anyway?
Is she being passive aggressive?
Yes. Well, no, she was aggressive the whole race. We were supposed to be doing intervals, and she was having so much fun and felt so good in spite of the heat and humidity that there were no intervals anywhere near that. And then, yes, there were three of us following her, and she took off on a dead sprint without announcing it to any of us and dared us sort of to catch her.
That's great.
It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the race. Like Lee said, I felt really good. And so I had a very, very good race and enjoyed being on the course and seeing all the people and the characters. The characters were disappointing, but there was lots of other photo opportunities. They had the World of Color fountains going, and we made our own photo opportunities at various places in Disneyland. So we had a great time.
Eddie?
My experience with the 10K, I mean, I was actually there to run it just to see how I could run it. I've been dealing with a back injury, so I took off on a run, and I had a good experience with the 10K. It was fine. I mean, I didn't notice that many characters. Definitely not as many characters I've seen in the 10K. But granted, I wasn't paying all that attention because I wasn't taking pictures. And the one thing you always have to remember when you're running a Disney race is when you're in the parks, there's a lot of tight turns. And unfortunately, somebody tried to cut me off on one of the turns as I was going around. I was on the inside, and he shot from the outside and ran into me and knocked me into a curb, and I went for my first Disney fall in a race. So I got a little scraped up, a little bruised, but got up and still had a very good race and a lot of fun.
Wow. My experience was, I agree with Laura 100%. I think you really get, I think we talked about this on the pre-show, you get a lot of bang for your buck in terms of running in the park. But I felt really bad for the people who were just doing the 10K in terms of characters, because there were so many more characters on the 5K and the half. And I did like the Chip and Dale, who were dressed like the burglars from the Jailhouse Rock Elvis, I don't know if you call it a video, but when he sang Jailhouse Rock, I thought that was cool. But, you know, other than that, I thought it was well run. It wasn't too crowded. After the race, I experienced, and I think you guys did too, I experienced a really difficult time getting back to my hotel room because of the route that the finish of the 10K came through downtown Disney. Back to in front of the Disneyland Hotel. And if you had finished, well, what happened to me, and I think you guys were in this crowd too, was they actually, I can't remember, it was just before Starbucks, they actually stopped people, and you would just run. They stopped. I was standing, I think it was about 20 minutes, just standing in this crowd at a dead stop, and that was a little bit frustrating. But other than that, I really enjoyed the race. Did you guys experience that too? I think you did.
Yes, we did. It took us same thing.
About almost 30 minutes, I think, from the time we left the finish area till we got to the grand. And, you know, part of it, they do the thing they started to do at the end of marathon weekend where they kind of split the course down the middle and they build little islands for pedestrians and they'll run the runners down one side and load pedestrians into an island. And then they'll switch which way the runners are going and let the pedestrians cross. That I thought went really smooth, but then yeah, we all ran into what looked like just a total dead end about halfway down downtown Disney. And again, we only got through it because literally the end of the race came by and then they just opened it up and let everybody go. We've decided Disney needs a portable stair set that they could take, you know, to marathon weekend and they can take here so that they could just build a bridge, you know, over the race course.
Yeah, that was kind of messy. And after you just run, you don't want to just be standing there.
Yep.
So, okay, we ready to talk about the half, or do you have any questions?
I just wanted to ask everybody what they thought of the medal.
Oh, love the medal. The Stitch medal is really great.
Though it is almost the lightest Disney medal I think I ever have, but it's certainly one of the cutest. You know, for anybody who hasn't seen it, it's Stitch's little Tiki Stitch that you see in artwork with him every now and then, and it's really cool.
And it's a sort of a different color gold. It's kind of bronze looking too.
Yeah,
right.
And the ribbon kind of looks like a lei or like a Hawaiian design.
So I actually had a comment other than the medals, which so between the lack of 10K merchandise and sort of the characters, it's too bad because it almost seems like Run Disney did the 10K more with the idea that it was for the folks doing Double Dare, and it rather than recognizing, and especially for a lot of your guys' listeners, I mean, it's a big, big deal when people go from couch to 5K, but I think it's great that Disney's doing 10Ks nowadays because, you know, that's kind of the nice intermediate step to get from a 5K to a 10K to a half. And for those folks who, I mean, that was their first 10K or it was a big deal that they were doing it. I mean, obviously they have the reward of doing it and it was still a nice race, but not as much opportunity to commemorate it and not as much, I think, emphasis on it as a standalone event.
I agree.
Well said.
All right, now it's time to go to the half marathon and I'm going to ask Eddie to open up the discussion on the 2014 Disneyland Half Marathon.
I started this race as just trying to run and finish it and have a good time along the way at just a nice easy pace. If you ran the previous year's Disneyland Half, it was pretty much the exact same course. And I'm not quite sure what other people will say, but I thought the character stops were pretty much the same along the way. For the most of what I can remember, it pretty much mimicked in every which way the year before, from character stops to what you saw on the course to the finish line. But, you know, I mean, I enjoyed it. It's well done. They have a bunch of cheerleaders out there. I mean, like I said, I wasn't as much on the stops along the way. I was having my own issues just trying to finish the race, so it wasn't the most pleasant race for me. Just because I'm not 100% healthy, but I had a great time out there, and I thought it was, you know, a well-supported Disney race, but I'll let the others who had a little bit more fun than I did.
I just have a question for you, Eddie, because you brought up a good point. Do you think that the characters should be different from year to year for these races?
Well, to me, I think yes. I think it maybe not always different, but as somebody that runs a lot of Disney races, I'm starting to say I've run enough times to start to when I can expect a character where they're going to be. Like I knew when I entered Tomorrowland that Darth Vader and the Stormtroopers were going to be there. I knew, you know, that when you can start guessing the characters, who they are and where they're at. To me, you need to change it up because it really doesn't cost a lot of money to change it up. And if you've got people repeating this race over and over, give them something a little bit different. Because in my mind, I could have run the year before and seen and done everything exactly the same except with a little bit better weather.
I agree.
I was going to say, I remember Dopey Weekend. I think I saw Dopey once. I don't know how many times you guys saw Dopey, but it seems to be always a marketing effort to say, you know, you're going to get to do all kinds of photo opportunities, but I don't know what it is about the 10Ks, but the 10Ks always seem to fall short of the character meets. 5Ks are okay, and maybe it's because there's more in-park course than the 10K. But I agree with whatever you said, Eddie, about that. You know, you want something different, I think.
Lee and Laura, what did you think of the half?
Well, it was a great race. I would disagree a bit with Eddie on the characters. I thought the characters were different to some extent this year. Of course, one of the differences was that there weren't any princesses this year. But they had the three caballeros on Main Street. And then they had the villains near Small World. And they had three different villain stops. And I don't remember that before. Or I don't have any photos of it, which is sort of interesting. But we had a great photo stop. We stopped with Cruella and Dr. Facilier. And Cruella was such a hoot. She was telling us where to stand and how to pose and who needed to be where. It was really fun.
So on the show we did last week, we made fun of the scenic tour of the Anaheim Warehouse District. But I have to say, with the memories fresh in my mind, I actually really had a great time out of Disney property. Now, my wife is snickering at me because it turns out I'm easily motivated by marching bands, dance groups, and cheerleaders. And they tend to make me run faster because I have to, you know, high five all the pom-poms, or I have to rock out with the band and dance on the course or things like that. But I'm always amazed, given that most of that course is outside of Disney control and they just get the community to support them, with the number of dance groups and marching bands and the couple miles worth of, you know, classic car folks that get out. And again, every year, I can't believe how many thousand people they will get into Anaheim and Angel Stadium to cheer on Perfect Strangers as they run by. So I thought that, once again, the community did a really good job of turning out and taking what would have been an incredibly boring, like 9 miles of that run and making it fairly entertaining.
I agree. That was the point I was going to bring up. It seemed to me like there were more marching bands this year, maybe slightly more, but I really, really enjoyed the community groups a lot. And it seemed to me that there were more people in Angel Stadium. Maybe I just noticed them more, but I really enjoyed that. I really like this race a lot. Other things I noticed is that there were a lot of porta-potties along the way, which is a good thing. And the Dumbo Double Dare part of it, where you had to get just the way you did last year, your bracelet for finishing the 10K, and then your Dumbo Double Dare medal the next day. That went very, very well. There were people there watching to make sure that you know, if you had a bracelet, that you got into the right lines. And also, I think most of us got the Coast to Coast, and that went very well, too. One thing I really liked at the race end was something different. In the past, we've gotten kind of these lemon-scented face cloths, and this year we got something from Dr. Cool, actually, a reusable one of those cooling towels. And I think it's called Cool Core. And that's something that you can take home with you. And I just thought that was great.
Yeah, that felt really good because it was warming up. I don't think it was as warm as it was last year, but it was still a warm morning. We had overcast from most of the race. I mean, by the time we finished, I think we'd had maybe 15, 20 minutes of partial sun. People who were out later than us got stuck in full sunlight, but it was a lot better than it was last year.
Oh, definitely. I got to mile 11 before I put my sunglasses on.
Okay.
And yeah, it was, I heard many, many people say it was warm, but not as warm as last year.
Right. Yeah. Mm. One thing I noticed this year, or didn't notice, is this year the numbers, they increased the numbers about 20% in the 5K, the 10K, maybe not quite that much in the half. So I was a little bit concerned about course crowding this year with that type of increase. But I didn't find any of the courses that I did to be really overcrowded at all. Yes, it's a Disney race or it's a race. There's a lot of people out there. You're not going to be able to always run the speed you want and where you want, but it wasn't bad, and it definitely isn't anything like some of the conditions we experience at Disney World on the half marathon course there.
I also wanted to mention something that I think Mike would be interested in. I was further back in the corrals than other folks here, and I noticed that corrals A, B, C, and D had already gone off, and there were still people coming into the corrals. And I asked a woman who jumped over the barrier, and I'm not talking like, you know, sometimes we see 4, 5, 10 stragglers. People were streaming in. I mean, it was, the sidewalk was packed after several corrals had already gone off. And one of the women who jumped over, I helped her get over, she was local, and she said there was a huge traffic tie-up, and there was a tie-up in the garage, too. And so I didn't hear anything about it after that, but I kept on thinking, oh, Mike would, I don't know, it would stress me out so much if I knew that the race had started and I'm still walking to the corrals.
I have two questions about the corrals. Were they big enough to hold all the runners, number one? And number two, what was the release time between corrals?
Well, so it seemed to be big enough to hold all the runners. I mean, certainly the corrals up front had more than enough room. I don't think any of us were far into the corral sort of got progressively bigger as you work from the very front to the very back. And so, in fact, the corrals were small enough, and I'm not even sure why they had the separation, that for the first six corrals, they did them in groups of two. So they sent off A and B together, and they sent off C and D together, and they sent off, I think, E and F together. Right. So it looked like they were doing 5-minute intervals basically between corrals. So yeah, they were getting plenty of spread. But like I said, it was just sort of weird that they bothered to separate people and then send them off in paired corrals anyway.
Yeah, they said, oh, A and B, you're going off together, and they just send them off. So,
and I don't like it. I wish they would have separated A and B, but instead of 5 minutes, split the difference, 2.5.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting.
So we were in F, and we were, I believe, about 18 minutes off the start of the race. And so obviously we started after E, and we were probably midway through F. And so that was still, like I said, 18 minutes from the start of the race.
I was in the very back of A, and it was total chaos at the start for the first 2 miles. So
what do you mean when you say chaos, Eddie?
You could not get into any rhythm whatsoever running, which is unusual in A. You know, it was, and then you had people from the back rushing into the front, into A, and, you know, it never got flow. It took 2 miles in to get any kind of flow in running, which is, from my experience in being in A, is totally unusual.
Which is funny, because I would say back where we were, it actually was the smoothest with the most, you didn't immediately run over a bunch of walkers, you didn't have wildly different pace. I mean, we normally think of you guys up front as having free and clear running, and you know, we're wistful about it because we have lots of mismatched kind of pace, and it was one of the smoothest starts and the most well-matched speed group that I think I've ever been in. So there must have been some karma going on.
And I was in H, and I experienced the exact same thing as you, Lee. I found no problems running I started about 25 minutes after race start, and it was not a problem at all. So it was just a very long walk to the start.
Well, my corral here in New Hampshire wasn't bad at all.
So. Does anybody else have anything to say about the half?
No, I just want to say I didn't mean to try to bash it. I love Disneyland races, and mm-hmm. I love the half, and you know, I didn't take a lot of pictures last year of all the characters, so in my mind I was trying to go through it. They're very well. It may have been what I've noticed is all the stops are very similar in Disneyland, where they put the characters at, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what maybe I thought where the villains were. That was Princess last year. I could not remember because I did not take a picture in that area. Mm-hmm. But some of them were the same. But you know, I guess I'd also like to see some unique characters. And maybe they did it. I did see in the distance the three Caballeros, which I thought maybe one of the coolest characters I saw in a while and a half, or at least to me it was, because I love the three Caballeros.
Anybody else?
Just logistics at the end of it, because they used a different finish area and it didn't finish in downtown Disney. Mm-hmm. Different finish area from the 10K and running through downtown Disney. It runs through the hotel. So there wasn't the traffic problem of, you know, getting back to your hotel and that sort of thing. So
that was
and,
nice.
And again, I don't know that we mentioned it. I think Laura and I remembered after we got done a couple weeks ago. The logistics for these races are just so easy because of the fact that unless you're driving, now, yes, if you're driving and you don't get there early enough, it's a problem because all the roads around. But if you're staying either in the Disney hotels or I think, Michelle, even the non-Disney hotels that are nearby, you know, the ability to kind of walk over an hour ahead of your start time and, you know, get right where you want to go is certainly a pleasant experience compared to most of the Disney World races.
Also nice for East Coasters, as we mentioned a few times while we were there. We just stayed on our East Coast time and it didn't seem like we, you know, we were rolling out of bed. It wasn't as difficult. So I just want to mention one more thing and ask you what you thought of the race shirts, because I thought the colors and the designs were really cool. I really liked them a lot.
They were real. I really liked them this year. I was very happy that they finally switched this year to offering a women's cut shirt for the Disneyland races, because the last few years I've gotten the unisex extra small and I swim in it. And so I was really happy to be able to get a women's cut shirt, small this year, that fits and it looks good. And the fabric is very nice. It's not too heavy. And the designs are just great. I especially loved the stitch shirt.
Mm. Anybody else?
I just want to say that I love that they've gone to the light tech shirts for just about every race now. So that started with, for a year-round thing, I think at Marathon Weekend. Every race shirt so far has been the light tech shirts. And not that the last year's shirt wasn't lighter than in previous, but I love these shirts, and I'm wearing one right now.
So. Yeah, I think they're not only lighter weight, but they're, I call it a tighter weave. So it feels a little more like cotton. It feels a little bit smoother. It doesn't snag quite as much. So, yeah, I agree with Eddie. The champion shirts that they've been doing for races for the last year are much more pleasant. And even if they did give us a lime green shirt, which is not one of my favorite colors, they're different colors and they're lovely designs.
Right. So the 10K had stitch and it's a dark blue. The half had, it was lime green and sort of had a square or a diamond and it said Disneyland on it. And then the Dumbo Double Dare was aqua color, and I like that very much too. So
the Dumbo Dare shirt may be one of my favorite Run Disney shirts ever.
Yeah, I really like it too. Okay,
sounds like a good time was had by all.
I just want to mention one more thing. Just none of us went to this, but one of our friends, Kimberly Markey, went to the pasta party, and that also was on the expensive side, and she said the food is great, but she wouldn't do it again. I know none of us did it, but that was her review of that. So,
Boardwalk Pizza and Pasta. That's
yes, Laura sent me there,
yes.
And I had some of the best ravioli even better than the sit-down restaurant. So, yummy, yummy.
Well, before we go, I got to ask Laura the most important question of the night. You ready, Laura?
Oh, yeah.
Did you go to Giardelli?
Well, of course. I had a midnight reverie sundae with chocolate ice cream and dark chocolate fudge.
And so did I.
Really?
Yes. I think everybody on this podcast, except for you, went there.
Oh, wow.
We'll have to bring you. Yeah, we owe you one.
Well, we want to thank Laura and Lee. Thank you. And Eddie, thank you for coming on and giving us and our listeners a review of the 2014 Disneyland Half Marathon Race Weekend. Thank you, guys. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for having us. Thanks. We had a great time.
Thanks.
So, for Laura Gilbreth, for Lee Zimmerman, for Eddie McCoy, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we will see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast has been brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes, who offer you the highest quality of vacation homes for your next Walt Disney World vacation, especially if you are looking for luxury, convenience, and above all, affordability. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com and by MEI-Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, serving the Disney community for over 15 years with expert advice and fee-free services to help you maximize your vacation dollar and time. Give them a try at MEI-Travel.com or MouseFanTravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, The Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.